Welcome to the American Cafe. I'm your host, David Byrd. This week, we're going to look at how animals are helping people live better and longer lives. First, Kevin Enochs will introduce us to some dogs who are helping to fight malaria.
They smell differently from other people. And most importantly, mosquitoes preferentially feed on people with malaria. So if mosquitoes can do it, why not dogs?
Then we head to Mississippi, where the descendants of the first horses brought to the United States are thriving again.
These horses were so important to our people, you know, our ancestors.
And we'll visit Colorado, where an ancient beast of burden is making a new home in America. That's all on this week's American Cafe. Dogs are well known and valued for their ability to smell everything from drugs to bombs to contraband electronics. But some scientists at Lancaster University in England have trained them to sniff out illnesses, specifically malaria. And as VOA's Kevin Enochs reports, that could be game-changing in the fight to stop the spread of the deadly disease.
Here's how the study worked. Children in Ghana, some of whom had malaria, some who did not, were given socks to wear for one night. And the trained dogs tried to identify the socks that had evidence of the malarial parasite.
There's accumulating evidence that people that have malaria parasites produce specific odors, so they smell differently from other people. And most importantly, mosquitoes preferentially feed on people with malaria. So if mosquitoes can do it, why not dogs?
Dogs like Freya, trained by the group Medical Detection Dogs, were able to identify malaria correctly 70% of the time. And Lindsay says this could lead to new and really effective ways of stopping malaria from spreading.
If you're getting really close to malaria elimination, you're trying to find the last remaining hotspots and who are those people who are infected, rather than screening everyone, the dogs might be good enough to go into the villages and find people.
Lindsay says dogs are already on the front lines of disease and contraband detection, but may be able to detect a host of other illnesses as well.
So the folk that I'm working with, the dog handlers, have worked with their dogs to detect cancers and Parkinson's disease, and they actually have alert dogs that work with diabetic patients that when they're going into hypoglycemia, the dogs notify the alert the person.
The medical detection team is also working with MIT to create a kind of e-nose that could do what the dogs do. But he says the dogs' noses are so sensitive, the technology doesn't yet exist to match their sniffing power. Kevin Enochs, VOA News.
A stallion in southwest Mississippi is bringing the first new blood in a century for a line of horses brought to America 500 years ago by Spanish conquistadors. The stallion was bred by Choctaw Indians who were later forced out of their ancestral homelands. We get this story from Faith Lapidus.
The animals on Bill Frank Brown's farm in Poplarville, Mississippi, may look like ordinary sheep, cattle, and horses, but they're not. Their ancestors were brought to America by Spanish conquistadors and bred by Choctaw Indians in what are now Alabama, Mississippi, and Louisiana. Colonial Spanish horses are among the world's few genetically unique horse breeds, and their ties to Native Americans run deep, says Francine Locke Bray, a member of the Choctaw Nation of Oklahoma.
When they first started using them, they used them as pack animals. So they literally, you know, they took them on hunting trips. Of course, the women were responsible for processing the meat and all that. But instead of carrying it on their backs, they now could carry it on the horses.
The small, sturdy horses were thought to be long gone from the Deep South, expelled along with the Choctaw and other tribes in the mid-1800s. Their forced migration to Oklahoma became known as the Trail of Tears. A few hundred Choctaw horses have been bred in Oklahoma, but the gene pool is small. In 2005, an expert on the breed visited Brown's farm to check on the descendants of colonial cattle and sheep and discovered DeSoto. DNA testing proved the stallion is Choctaw, a thrill for members of the Choctaw Nation.
These horses were so important to our people, our ancestors.
Rare farm animals, like the ones on the Browns farm, are also important for the future because of their robust health, mothering and foraging instincts, and the proven ability to thrive in a changing climate.
Before commercial agriculture took place, they evolved on their own to live off the land on their own through, drought, through, wintertime. A lot of these animals lived on whatever they could find in the longleaf pine forest years ago and in the coastal plains and flatwoods. So they have ability to survive where your commercial type animals will not.
The mares that were the best genetic matches for DeSoto were brought to Mississippi last year. The Browns say some of the foals will remain with them while others will go back to Oklahoma along with pregnant mares. I'm Faith Lapidus, VOA News.
Domesticated yaks have been kept by herders, farmers, and even conquering emperors for thousands of years. Their meat, milk, and their fiber are prized, and it turns out they are smarter than domesticated cows. Yeshi Dorji and Mil Arcega tell us how yaks are making their home in the Rocky Mountain state of Colorado.
You're more likely to find these long-haired beasts of burden grazing in the highlands of the Tibetan Plateau. But these domesticated yaks have gained a new foothold, far from home, in Colorado's high country. These American-born yaks are descendants of the first herds brought to American ranches about 30 years ago. Today, they occupy a steadily growing niche in American agriculture.
Yaks are definitely a growing industry in the United States right now. I can't tell you exactly how many yak farms or ranches there are in the United States. IYAC, International Yak Association, does have over 200 members.
Got our first three yak we started with, and went from there.
The Petty Ranch started raising yaks in Fairplay, Colorado, 2 decades ago, and for good reason. Danielle Garner says yak meat tastes better than beef, and it's healthier because it has less fat.
Mother's side of the family has a lot of heart issues.
It's been beneficial for her. It's reduced cholesterol.
Oh, yes.
The health benefit for her has been substantial.
We have done studies. We did it through Michigan State University and Silk Ear and Company, and we have proven that yak is the only thing actually lowering cholesterol is turkey.
Aside from the health benefits, yaks are also better for the environment because they need less land for grazing than cattle. And their fur is a favorite among designers because it's silkier and more durable than cashmere. For farmers, it's all money in the bank.
Our primary business is selling high-quality breeding stock to other breeders.
Montana rancher Jim Watson started replacing his cattle and bison herds for yaks back in 2003. Since then, he's sold about 500 of them to other ranchers. Besides their meat, these yaks can be used as pack animals for trekking, and some are even sold as pets.
Yaks are much smarter than cattle, and they have richer personalities. You fall in love with them more.
It's their characters. They each have their own individual personality.
Despite their charming demeanor, yak farming has its limits. The animals thrive at higher elevations and colder environments. And at an altitude of 3,000 meters, the Petty Ranch has been an ideal home for these Tibetan newcomers. But as the western sun sets over the Mosquito Mountains of Colorado, some ranch owners remind us that in the land of cattle and buffalo, it's just a dawn of yak farming. For producer Yeshi Dorji in Fairplay, Colorado, Mil Arcega, VOA News.
Thanks for being with us. To see video of the stories you heard on our program, visit our website, voanews.com. If you'd like to comment on our show, or if you have any questions, visit our Facebook page, VOA American Cafe. Until next time, I'm David Byrd in Washington. Thanks for listening.